Here's a question for you. Have you ever felt that you just aren't quite qualified for God? We have one honest person in the room who's like, yeah, that's me. Kind of like, you know, you failed one too many times, and you might as well get used to the fact you've missed God's best for you, and so God's going to use someone else. Like, we all know God's sovereign, and he's going to get the job done, but he's probably going to use someone else because I've blown it just way too many times. Has anyone ever felt like that? I'll be very honest and say, yeah, I have felt like that. And maybe a more simple way to ask that question is, does my sinfulness or my sinful past, or maybe even things I'm struggling with now, does that mean God can't use me? Or God won't use me? And everybody know, we know in our heads, hopefully, we know in our heads the answer to that Harry just gave is no. But we often can feel like that. You're in good company. You're in great company. Because Jesus' own, like one of his main three, his disciple Peter, felt the same way. The context of where we're going today is this. Peter, this is Peter. Think man of faith, pillar of the church, the rock. Peter, the man who had asked Jesus, so how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times in a magnanimous moment. And Jesus, of course, answers him and says, no, 77 times. Or 70 times seven. Oh. The same Peter who had promised to never abandon Jesus and who said, I'm with you even unto death. I'll die with you. If it comes to that, I'll die with you. The same Peter who then denied Jesus three times the night before he died with an oath even. I never knew the man. I have nothing to do with this Jesus. And then he realizes, I haven't really done what I said I was going to. Kind of like we were singing today, you know, my life for you. You go, yeah, Jesus, I'm going to give my life for you, or to you. And then he realizes, I've denied him. And then I denied him again. And then I denied him again. And Jesus comes through. Yes, he's executed. Yes, he dies. And on the third day, he rises from the dead. And now what? Because Peter's blown it. The very one he denied is now back, and they're face to face. Now what? And this is kind of where we pick up the story. So Peter's gone fishing. This was his old trade. It's what he used to do for money. He went fishing, probably believing that even though Jesus was raised from the dead, there's going to be no real place in the kingdom of significance for him. Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say this is how Peter felt. But Jesus shows up and Peter's excited and he dives out of his boat and he swims to Jesus. And we pick up here. John 21 verse 4. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? He probably was shouting because they're out in a boat fishing. Children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And immediately, the disciples have to have a flashback moment because this has happened before. Early on, when they had just met Jesus, they had this exact scenario where they fished all night and they've caught nothing, and this guy shows up who's not a fisherman, and he tells them to cast their nets on the opposite side of the boat, as if the water is completely different on the other side of the boat. But they do it, and all of a sudden they've got so many fish, they don't know what to do. Their boats are sinking. And here it is happening again. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work. So he, in our day, like he didn't have his shirt on. He's out in the boat fishing, and he's like, "Oh, I should clean up." And he puts on his outer garment and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. But when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? I want to open up with three basic points that we draw from this story pretty quickly on in the story. Jesus is the one who calls out to sinners who have fallen short. I love that these guys have gone fishing. Several of them have gone fishing, and Peter's kind of the main character here, but several of them have gone fishing. They know Jesus is alive. This isn't the first time he's appeared to them. They know he's alive. They're trying to figure out, what do we do now? What does this mean in our lives? What do we do? We're the ones who abandoned Jesus. We're the ones who said great things and did not so great things. So now what? And I love that Jesus comes to these guys and he calls out to them as they're fishing. He came to where they're fishing. He calls out to them in such a way that they would know it was him. This whole thing is a setup. They're out fishing. When Jesus says, "Hey, cast your nets on the other side," why does he do that? Why does he do that? He wants them to know it's him. The God who does miracles, the God who raises the dead, heals the sick, binds up the brokenhearted, ministers to the poor, preaches good news to the poor, wants them to know, "Hey guys, it's me. It's me." And he's coming after the ones who've abandoned him. He's coming after the ones who have fled. They've not been strong when they, quote, should have been strong. They were weak. and he's coming after them. He comes, he doesn't only call out, he comes to them in their failure. He comes to them in this place, and he sits down and he eats with them. The same Jesus who had sat down with sinners and offended religious people. They got mad because he was this guy who ate with sinners. And they called him the friend of sinners. And that wasn't a good thing. They weren't saying, this Jesus is a friend of sinners. How cool is that? The religious people were upset because Jesus hung out with sinners. But it's easy for the church people to think, oh, yeah, well, Jesus is hanging out with these guys and they've got a really horrible life and they've done a lot of really bad things, but really Jesus is out for them. He's trying to get them. But what do you do when suddenly it's you who's blown it? And it's you who've fallen short, and it's you, the religious guy or the religious lady, and you've kind of lost faith, and you've run. Jesus isn't just coming after like the first-time sinners. He's coming after the religious ones who were with him. They were his core. They were like the guys. And then they blew it. Well, now what? And here comes Jesus. Coming after him. I love that this is the third time he's appeared to them. This is the third time he's coming, and he just keeps coming. And he does something that we're going to get into here in a minute. The third thing Jesus does with these guys is he actually commissions these sinners. He commissions them for the future. So he's calling out to sinners who've fallen short. He's coming to sinners in their failure, and he's commissioning sinners the future. This should encourage you. What we're really going to get into today, because I could have put a whole message together and preached these 3 points, but it's really just kind of the intro. This Jesus who commissions him. Because what I want to talk to you about today is, who is this Jesus? How does he commission? How does he commission people who've blown it? He'd already commissioned these guys before. Go out. Everywhere you go, I want you to go ahead of me and tell people, kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want you to heal the sick. I want you to raise the dead. I want you to cleanse the lepers. I want you to cast out demons. And tell everybody the kingdom's at hand. And they went out and they did it. They've done great things. These guys have seen sick people healed. They've seen lepers cleansed. They've seen people who are oppressed by demons and the forces of darkness. They've seen people set free, put into their right minds. They've seen this stuff. And then they've abandoned Jesus. And then they've run. They've had successful ministries. And then they've tanked. And how Jesus commissions these people is important. When he comes to Peter, this exchange that they have is significant. Not just for Peter's life, but for my life, for your life. Significant. Now, these aren't going to be genius points, okay? These are going to be very basic. But we need to get this. Guys, Jesus chooses even the one who has sinned against him. He comes to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter says, you know that I love you. Yeah, I love you. He says, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Here's this guy who's blown it, he's fled, he's disqualified himself. You're not going to, if you know this story about Peter, you're not looking at Peter and saying, what a mighty man of faith. No, instead you're going, he's a lot like I might be. You might not want to admit that, but, because we all want to say, I would have done better. I'd have done better than Peter did. I'd have stood with him. right? That idiot. But he comes to Peter. What does he say to Peter? I think it's very important. He does not come to Peter and say, Peter, do you feel bad about what you did? Wasn't that pathetic? I really want to make sure you understand how weak you are, Peter. I want to make sure you understand. Remember when I told you that apart from me you could do nothing? I bet you get it now. He doesn't do that. He comes to Peter and he says, do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Do you love me? Out of Christ's love for us, we're given the opportunity to affirm our love for him. As we sang about, as Steve reminded us, I was thinking exactly the same thing when Steve stepped in just to remind us. We love because he first loved us. We step out, anything, any great exploits, great deeds that we would do for God, we do only because he first loved us. We do because he empowers us to do these things. And out of his love for us, he gives us opportunity to affirm our love for him. So this morning, as we come, this is why it's so valuable for us to come together to worship. Why does the scripture writer later say, don't forsake the gathering together? We need to be together. In this place, we get to affirm who God is. We get to express our love for him, express our gratitude to him together. It's a powerful, powerful thing. On Friday, I got to go listen to and learn from kind of one of my heroes. His name is Brian Chappell, and he's a guy who's been teaching preachers to preach for decades. I think he was 20 years at Covenant Theological Seminary. And he was in town doing a few-hour seminar on preaching. And got to go just sit under his teaching. And it was so, so great. He had this to say, we are never more strong or more secure than when we are full of love for Christ. What keeps you going when temptation comes your way? When struggle comes your way? Not if, but when stuff happens. What keeps you going? Your love for Christ. And he says to Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Yes, I love you. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. Okay, good, good, good. We're all good then. Let's move on. Jesus is making a pretty significant point. He asks again, Peter, do you love me? And just as Peter had denied Jesus the night before he was killed, Jesus gives him opportunity to affirm his love. And Peter says, yes, you know that I love you. You know, Jesus, you know that I love you. And he instructs Peter again, based on his love for Christ, to serve the people of God. Now, as Jesus is commissioning Peter to go, it's not just a commission to go out and work. This commission is rooted into something. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? One of the worst things we can have happen is for Christians to be commissioned to go out who don't have a love relationship with Jesus. If we aren't in love, and I don't mean in love like we're just Twitter pated with Jesus. Oh, Jesus. No. I mean, when we love Jesus, we love people. If we're short on love
for Jesus. Even gifted leaders hurt people. We drive sheep. Nowhere in this commission does it say, Peter, if you love me, drive the sheep. Drive that herd. Drive that. No. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. And he gets to the third time. He says, feed my sheep. But this third time, Jesus commissions the same one who has habitually rejected him. There was a problem that night. The night before Jesus died, when they say, you were with Jesus. And Peter says, no. You got the wrong guy. I was not with Jesus. Saying with his Galilean accent that Jesus had to. No, I don't know that Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. Not even from the same part of the country. Like, sure. And he's given a second opportunity. And they said, you were with him. You're with him. He said, no, was not me. Was not me. And the third time, they said, you're with him. Your accent betrays you. You were with him. And he says, I don't even know the man. And Jesus comes to him after he's been raised from the dead. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, do you love me? Peter's grieved, and he says, Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. And all three of these times, rooted in love, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And Peter responds, yes. From that place, feed my sheep. From that place, care for the people. From that place, tend the little ones. Tend the lambs, the ones that come in. And a little lamb in the kingdom doesn't have to be a 3-year-old. A lamb in the kingdom can be 65 years old, could be 75 or 85 years old. But they come in and they don't know anything. They're just kind of like, here I am, probably going to make messes. Probably going to do stuff wrong, have a tendency to wander everywhere and do all the wrong things and say all the wrong things and probably offend you. From that place of, Peter, do you love me? Then tend my lambs. From that place of love is where we work. Peter's brokenness and his fears are being addressed as Jesus is asking him, not once, not twice, 3 times asking him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's having to address and face what's happened. I love how Jesus does that, though. He does it in such a life-giving way. In a way that releases Peter, but doesn't just let him off the hook to not have to deal with his sin. Now, Peter's words, this third time especially, should really, really encourage you. The third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter's grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He says to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know everything. Guys, God knows your heart. He knows our hearts better than we do. He knows our fears better than we do. He knows our weaknesses better than we do. He knows our shortcomings better than we do. He knows better than you do. Why you would stumble into sin. He knows better than you. He knows all things. He knows our love for him. Can I just set you free from something? Never again do you have to prove your love for Jesus. Never again do you have to satisfy Jesus that, yes, you really love him. If I go out and I do this, then Jesus will really know. I even know, I don't want to name them. They're not in this town. I'll just say this. They're not in this town. I know church planters and pastors who their primary motivation for being in the ministry is because they're afraid that if they don't plant another church and if they don't do well in their ministry, they'll never hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know why I know that? Because they told me. And I thought, oh, their whole ministry is rooted out of trying to prove they're a worthy servant. How frustrating, how horrible to have your whole life and everything that should be done out of, "Jesus, I love you, and so I'm going to feed the people. Jesus, I love you, and so I serve." Instead, it's, "I'm serving so that you'll know that I love you." And it breaks my heart. Because people get hurt in that kind of an environment. Sheep get driven in that kind of an environment instead of tended and cared for. Families get driven. You know what happens when you get driven? You get tired. And you give up. You get driven away. Yeah, true. True. Guys, God knows your heart better than you do. And Peter even affirms that right in the middle of this. "Jesus, you know. You know everything. You know that I love you." And I love that in the middle of this, in the middle of this interchange, Peter can still affirm, I know that you know all things. I know that you know my heart. That should give you hope. God knows your heart. He knows how your heart beats to honor him. He knows how you burn for his glory and for his kingdom, and you want to see him get honor. And even when you fail, he knows your heart. And he knows your motives, even the ones that aren't good. He knows it, and he knew it before he ever called you. Now, based on a relationship of love and friendship, Jesus commissions Peter to feed his sheep, to nourish the church. The reason I say love and friendship, there's an interchange going on here in the Greek that we didn't get into a lot. Because Jesus says, "Peter, do you agapao me?" And it's, "Do you love me?" And it's this. It's the kind of love that God has for us. And Peter answers and he says, "Jesus, I phileo you." Which is a friendship. Love. It's a friendship. And then Jesus asks him again, "Peter, do you agapao me?" And Peter answers, "You know that I phileo you." And the third time Jesus says, "Peter, do you phileo me?" And he says, "You know all things. You know that I phileo you," which is this friendship, love. There, Jesus isn't looking just for this perfect, glorious, "I have an amazing love." The word where this dialogue goes is into a deep friendship. He wants friends who will then care for the ones he loves. So who is this Jesus? I already said some of this. I'm going to say it again. He's the one who knows our deepest failures even before they happen. You know that before Jesus, or before Peter denied Jesus three times, guess who told him that was going to happen?
Jesus!
Jesus! When Peter said, Jesus, I'm going to go with you to the end. Even to death, I'll go with you. And Jesus responds to him and says, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times.
Whatever.
I'm with you. And what happened? He denied him three times, just like Jesus said he would. He knows. Jesus had prophesied, you're going to deny me. I hope I don't want that kind of prophetic word.
Brother, let me just bless you with a word from the Lord today.
You are going to blow it big time. Three times.
Ooh.
Peter actually, when Jesus said that to Peter, he says, but I've prayed for you. Three times you're going to deny me, but I've prayed for you. And when you return, strengthen your brothers. Why? They all denied him. They all abandoned him. They all had run. They're all wondering. They're all questioning, where do I fit now? I've blown it. This is the Jesus who knows our deepest failures before they happen. He's the one who paid the price for our sinfulness with his own blood. He's the one who commissions us to love him with our lives. And he's the one who fills our hearts with love for him and empowers us to fulfill his purpose. Here's where the story begins to wrap up here. Though Peter had denied even knowing Jesus, he was empowered by God's grace to take up his own cross and follow him, even to death. The very thing he declared he was going to do in his own strength at the beginning, Jesus empowered him to do at the end. I'm going to read this again. John 21, verse 18 and 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus has just prophesied Peter's death and how it's going to happen. And we know from history how it did happen. Peter himself was taken captive. He was stretched out on a cross. And he was crucified. But he was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to die in the same manner that Jesus did. The very thing that he said, I will do, I'm with you to death, Jesus, but he couldn't do in his own strength. That very thing Jesus prophesied, now you will do it. Now you will. He prophesied Peter's faithfulness even to death and invited Peter to follow him again and gave him a place of significance in his kingdom. So the question today is this. Jesus asked the same question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Not, can you do great things for me? Can you impress me? That's not what Jesus is asking. He's not asking you that question. Can you build something really cool for me? Can you save more people than the other guy? You love me more than these? No. No. The question is just, do you love me? And from that love relationship, he promises to complete what he started in us. Our commission today from God comes to serve him in our day, not to make up for our sin, but because of his great grace and love, and because of our great love in return to him, he says, I can commission you.